Also, something that I hadn't taken into consideration enough at this point is that Frida is from Sweden and is a different culture.
Mm-hmm. And my family, I just moved here.
Yeah. And my family is super loud and they talk a mile a minute. Everyone shouts over each other and everyone's constantly like joking around and making insults at each other. And like, if you want to be heard, you basically have to shout over the fray and just like, no part of that is what Frida is
That's
going to do.
That's not the Swedish way.
No, not at all.
What is the Swedish way?
In general, the Swedish culture is like very quiet, a little shy, and like kind of cold and closed off, which sounds terrible, but like it's just we don't talk to strangers, we don't ask a lot of questions because it's rude, and like that thing is
rude,
just like
to ask questions. I'm the rudest lady in Sweden.
Welcome to Honey, I'm Julia Meltzer. Today on the podcast, we have Erica and Frida. They have a lot of adorable animals in their apartment, so you know I was happy. If you're enjoying Honey, rate and review us on iTunes. And remember, you can follow us on all the social media at Honey with Julia. Okay, here we go.
Honey, 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 come home, 'cause we've got things to talk about. I've been sitting here on my own, and I think we can work it out. Honey, 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 come home, 'cause I think we can work it out.
Voice in your ears, you're like, I'm gonna make this quieter.
Yeah, I wish I had that capability. I'm like always too loud, and you'd think because I have like edited my own audio, you'd think I would learn, mm-hmm. and then inevitably when I like see the tracks on the software, mine is like,
oh yeah, that's okay. I'm very quiet, right. And then video shoot.
When I edit our YouTube videos, like my audio's here, hers is here.
Every time. And I've tried to get louder, but it's like I can't match that.
Yeah. That's me and Alyssa on my other podcast. Shout out to Under Her Eye, my Handmaid's Tale recap podcast.
Ooh.
At the Emmys, I felt like my team won the Super Bowl.
Oh,
it was such a thrill.
Well, also team lesbian won, you know?
Yeah.
Very excited about that, always.
There's Lena Waithe. Mm-hmm. What other? Oh, well, the San Junipero.
Yeah. Oh, was a lesbian. That was like a dream come true.
Yeah. And then Alexis Bledel winning.
Oh,
which was, I guess, last week at the Creative Arts Emmys. Yeah. So I was really excited about that. She was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just need to watch the second half. I only saw the first half of the season because then my stepdad changed his Hulu password.
I haven't been able to see the second one.
Oh my gosh, get into it. I love it. It's so good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. Okay, Erica and Frida, welcome to Honey.
Thank you.
How long have you guys been together?
Almost 2 years. We're like a month away now. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh. Yeah. Happy early anniversary.
Thank you.
Are you anniversary people?
Yeah, for sure. I like to celebrate. I feel like I'm more so than she because I love to buy gifts and flowers and like make a big deal out of it. So,
well, we actually have like now it's gonna sound funny that I only said a little bit because we actually have sort of a monthly like ritual, but in a way, it's like every month on our anniversary, we eat chocolate and strawberries, like melted chocolate and dipped strawberries in it, but it's partly just an excuse to eat it.
Yeah,
you know, just because like it's really like, good, but we can't eat it every weekend, so we're like, we'll do this only
once a month. Love that.
Sometimes
you just hear some good advice because I don't really give a ton of advice. But I'm gonna include that. I'm gonna be like monthly chocolate covered strawberries on your anniversary because why not?
Once a month, that's reasonable. Yeah. You know?
Do you guys want to hear the other advice I give?
Yes.
It is get a spinny wheel for deciding where to eat.
If you're
the type of couple that gets stuck in a like, where, well, what do you want? Well, what do you want? Kind of conversation that frustrates a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Just make a spinny wheel And the other piece of advice is from Ann and Brian, and it's whoever does, if you do extra chores, you get bonus oral.
Oh.
And I'm like, get into it.
I was like, that just sounds like solid advice that I can give everyone.
Definitely. Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Luckily, we like to eat all the same foods.
Yeah. So we don't really have that problem.
Choosing what to eat is very easy.
Yeah.
We have like four or five things we
eat. We're like, oh, you also want to eat that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. What is it? What's on your menu?
Well, most of it is just like what Frida makes because she's a cook.
Oh. I cook. And we're vegan. So it's fun to cook at home because you can do whatever you want. You can like, you know, have all the substitutes for whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, our favorite's probably like mushroom fries or what we call, we've just made up a name for it, but we call it healthy tachos. It's basically tater tot nachos, but we put in sweet potato fries instead of
tater
tots, so it's supposed to be healthier. So
it's gone from nachos to sweet potatoes with beans and tomatoes and like various and,
yeah, like vegan cheese and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds great.
It's delicious.
It's so good.
It's amazing. It's just
and you don't have to feel that bad about it. Like
But calling it healthy tachos is sort of like,
that's like something that's just it's very like, turtle, but
requires several tachos, layers of understanding.
Yeah, tachos is a great word.
Oh yeah,
in and of itself.
I think that I
did you invent it?
Yeah, I think so. Because there's a restaurant from my hometown that lets you get any type of nachos with tater tots instead of the chips. Mm-hmm. And when I ordered it, I was like, "I'll have some tachos, please." And the waitress was just like, "Hmm." And I was like, I thought everybody must be saying this.
Yeah, no.
Apparently now we say it.
Yep.
Okay, and now everyone listening.
Yeah.
Well, tachos. Yeah,
tachos are here really first. Good. Erica invented it.
Yeah.
So how did you guys meet?
We met on Tinder.
Yeah.
Wow. Do I have any other Tinder couples? I said that in such a creepy way, like you guys are in my collection, like in my closet. Yeah. To tell you the are truth, I kind of think of it that way.
My collection. My couples.
Anyway, no one becomes Tinder couple. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, sometimes we'll tell this to people and they'll be like, oh, so Tinder's not that bad. And I'm like, no, it's garbage.
Like, I don't recommend it.
Be on it. And then sometimes we'll be like, oh, well, I guess if you're using it the right way. I'm like, I don't know if we were using it the right way either. We just happened to like, because neither of us were even looking for a serious relationship.
Not at all.
But we met and love bloomed, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. How did you go, like, you must like each other so much because like the not looking for a serious relationship filter that you put on your self to overcome that.
I mean, I think for us it just took the pressure off of anything. Like there was no pressure to commit or to be in a like exclusive relationship. There was no like expectations, and for us that just made things get serious very fast instead.
At first we thought Frida was only gonna be in the country for a couple of months.
Yeah, because I was an exchange student when we met. Because I'm from Sweden.
Oh.
Yeah. And so when I'd been in the States for like a month and I was just on Tinder for fun, and then because it was like, well, this was like in October and I was gonna go home in December, and I was like, well, we might as well just like go for it. Like, I'm not going to be here. So that's kind of where we just like.
Yeah. So we really went for it thinking like, oh, it'll only be a couple months anyways. Yeah. And then after like 2 weeks, it was like, you cannot leave.
No.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Wow. How was that conversation? How did that conversation go?
It was pretty natural. I mean.
Yeah. I think after like a week, was it after 2 weeks when. So Erica asked, like, would you want to be my girlfriend?
And it was 2 weeks after we met. It was 1 week after our first date.
Yeah. So we knew pretty immediately that we wanted to be together.
Yeah.
And then things moved very fast. And we were just, like, so sure that it was, like...
I mean, I think we had probably been girlfriends for, like, a week before we started floating the, like, what if you stayed here for another semester?
Oh, yeah.
It was definitely.
Because I had the option of just... you know, keep going to school here and staying for another semester or however long, because my visa was for like 5 years, so I could just keep studying on that visa.
Oh,
so it was like you know, obviously it costs money to go to school here, but it was very possible to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then the part that's really crazy and like actually makes us sound insane.
Yeah.
We'd probably been dating for about like 3 weeks until we had the conversation where we were like, I think we're going to get married.
Yeah.
This is like,
I think it was like
the rest of my life.
Yeah. Third week or something. We were both like,
And we were both cognizant enough to know that this
is crazy.
You know, like, we were aware that it was nuts, but also that, it was real and
we felt it.
What's funny is sometimes we do talk about it and we're like, what's crazy is how we feel the same way that we did then.
Yeah.
You know, now it's 2 years on and we were right. You know?
I feel like the last 2 years have just been like,
eyeballs are huge right now.
Like, these are the eyeballs of a straight woman imagining telling a man I had been dating for 3 weeks that I thought this was it.
Yeah.
And that we were going to get married. True.
This is a lesbian thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
where we're both like, this is, I agree.
Love it. I mean, that sounds great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like we've just been proving everyone else that we were right in the past 2 years. So, because they were like, I mean, we knew it sounded crazy and that we were a little crazy, but we knew that it was right. And then everyone else was like, this is insane. This is not going to happen. Like, you're not going to follow through. And we were like, yeah, we are. And then, like, it's just been, like, proving everyone else that we were right.
So how does, are your friends, like, were you, like, told you so?
You know,
like, I have a friend who she got married like over a year ago and she met her husband because he was her lab partner in college and they were friends and she was like, I think he likes me. Like, should I hook up with him? And I was like, no, he's your friend. He's your lab partner. This is a hard no.
Sacred lab partner situation. I
was like, don't get involved. Like, what if it goes south and you're like still have to be lab partners and friends and. And so now, like, whenever I kind of have to like hang my head in shame. Like, for sure at their wedding, I was like,
The thing is, your advice was solid.
Oh, you
know,
yeah.
Unless it's the one, and then it's the, then it is.
Yeah. You never know. Like,
I would say with our friends, how it has sort of turned out is that a lot of them were basically on board pretty quickly, where they were just like, all right, I love you. You seem really happy, so fine.
Yeah.
And a couple of our friends have very negative responses to it, and they are not our friends anymore.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, I'm listen, sometimes you guys, we've never really talked about this on Honey. Like, why is it that you, like, can't break up with a friend, but you, like, you know, sometimes you gotta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You do. You have to.
Well, these were my finger scissors, listeners.
Cut it out. Also, we had sort of realized after we were dating for like 6 months or so that I think if you have a friendship that is like harming your relationship, then you just can't let that happen, you know? And so that friendship has to change or it has to end. And I think that it's fairly common for lesbians to have like really intense friendships when they're not in relationships. And those friendships sort of verge on relationships. And so we both had those sort of friendships and they were not able to adapt to us having a relationship. And so unfortunately those friendships had to end.
Being a lesbian
is
really
complicated. It
is. I mean, when you had that 3 week let's get married conversation, it seemed so simple. But I guess it is complicated. I think I have a friend who like goes like disappears when he's in a relationship. I guess it's weird to me that people have a problem with that. In a way it's so selfish. I'm like, I wish I were hanging out with him more because I love hanging out with him, but I know that the hours he's not with me, he's with his partner being fulfilled. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just really emotionally evolved. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
don't know what you were very healthy. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
No, I wish everyone had that attitude. Yeah. Because
to be fair, I have like a lot of friends, so I'm kind of like fine down the list.
Yeah. Julia has a lot of friends, and she's really emotionally healthy.
Yeah.
Aren't I great? Get on this, people.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
No, I was just saying that a lot of people that you know they get upset that you don't hang out with them. For us, it was like just a few weeks. I'm like, give us a few weeks to like be in love, but then you know that that's just not the right kind of friendship for you,
mm-hmm.
or at least maybe too intense at the time.
Yeah,
yeah. I think being young before you are in serious relationship, it's just a time that sort of lends itself to like really intense friendships.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And those friendships have to like shift. You know, or you can't like be a healthy adult with healthy relationships.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I certainly have friends who I used to hang out with way more, but now we're both in relationships and we just see each other when we can. And it doesn't affect our friendship. And I think like that's a good and healthy place to be as an adult. But not everybody's ready to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And any change is hard for most people.
Yeah.
To go from whatever that like, I mean, I guess I'm saying this, but it is very like intense for me to go through this like phase of life change where like now most of my friends are married or.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I still see them like really as much as I want. I think it's because I have so many. Now that why doesn't it bother me?
Yeah.
There's always a friend to see.
Well, yeah.
A bigger like, rotation.
Yeah. I still want to have friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We still have friends.
Like, yeah. That's what I think is strange when people think like you can only have a friendship or a relationship or something. It's like, well, my friends don't do the same thing for me. That's not the same role in my life as my partner, you know?
No.
So, yeah. I mean, I still want to have friends. I just maybe can't see them 5 times a week, you know.
Yeah. Like, and like it's nice when we can all hang out too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's important to me. And I think that is another lesbian thing where there is like a little bit of a blurring of the line sometimes between like your girlfriend and your friends who are girls. Because sometimes there would be like, oh, all the girls are hanging out tonight. And be like, can I bring Frida? And be like, well, no one's bringing their boyfriends. I'm like, yeah, but she's not a boy.
Yeah. Like, it's like, it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That can be complicated.
Well, I just planned a lesbian bachelorette party.
Oh, yeah.
And well, we drew the line at the fiance coming, but it was really weird because it was like we usually all just hang out.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's your bachelorette
party. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's different than just like hanging out.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I still don't know if I could. I don't think I would want a bachelorette party where you weren't there.
No. Like, we've talked about that. We're like, we'd probably want a joint one because why?
I mean,
it's not
fun
as fun without each other. Like, why would we have two separate
parties?
What am I
gonna do? Get drunk and make out with someone else? No, let's get the rules.
Okay, so do you guys fight?
We talked about this because we kind of, you know, we got the email and we read about it, but we don't really fight.
So I was a little worried that we would like be boring.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But then I realized all the other crazy things about us. So
yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
probably
some crazy stuff.
But we don't really fight. I mean,
no.
Yeah,
like really. We will have. I don't know if we'll just have discussions, or but it's never really.
Just talk about our feelings.
Yeah, how we feel.
Sounds
and then,
so great.
Yeah, and then we usually just solve it. Yeah, that's fine.
But so, like, what do you? But you disagree sometimes.
Sometimes,
yeah. It's kind of crazy how much we do agree on most things.
Yeah.
Which I haven't really had with anyone else to this extent before, which is kind of cool. But
yeah, I would say the most that happens, because we don't even disagree all that often. Mm-hmm. I would just say sometimes we sort of unintentionally hurt each other's feelings.
Yeah.
You know, which is possible. Like, or sometimes we get like, sometimes it's just like, when life is stressful, you know, and you start reacting to stress, then you can be a little more unpleasant of a person to be around.
Yeah.
And I think like when I'm stressed, I tend more towards anger. I get a little more snappy.
Yeah.
And Frida gets a little more sad.
Yeah.
And so we've just learned that interaction between the two of us means that I could get snappy and she could get sad. And then that's not, you know, good for us. So then we have to make sure that I'm not getting angry with her, and she's, and I'm not making her sad, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like we just try to be super open with exactly how we're feeling, and that usually will,
yeah,
will work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Yeah. But when we started dating, it was, like I said, it was very intense, and like it was a lot at once. And yeah, especially for Erica's mom in particular, we had like, it was a little crazy. Like it was just the first 2 months we've been dating that I met her for the first time, because we were going there for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I think it was that first time I met her, and it just didn't go very well, because like we obviously knew what we felt and had a really good connection, and we like were super in love. But as with a lot of other people, like her mom was like not sure, and like I'm sure you can talk more about this, but like you also kind of came out around the same time that we started dating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when we were discussing this, we're like, have we ever had a big fight? And like, we haven't really ever had a big fight, but this was probably where it was a situation where we were both deeply unhappy, you know? Yeah. And it involved our relationship, and it was like stress upon our relationship.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is when I took her home for Thanksgiving after we've been dating for a month, which, yeah, you know, some people will be like, well, there's your problem right there. But, you know, we all thought it was going to be so awesome that we were really just not prepared, because I'm very close with my family, mm-hmm, and very close with my mom. My mom, mm-hmm, was really excited to meet Frida. Frida was excited to meet her. And then it just wasn't as easy as we all thought it would be. And yeah, and we sort of, it ended up in a thing where it was like nobody was having a good time for the whole week. Yeah. It took us a while to like figure out why that was so painful for a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was, cause I had not come out before we started dating, and I hadn't even really discussed it that much. And then it was just sort of after we were like officially dating, I went ahead and was like, by the way, everyone, like, I'm gay. it's not like an elaborate prank or something, you know. Like, and that was just, whereas my family is very like, they are progressive and accepting people, I think they just didn't totally believe me. Mm-hmm. And so they were a little skeptical, and they were really looking super hard to like see evidence, you know, that like I truly was gay and we were soulmates or not, you know. And
that's
like,
so what a weird Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah, it's way too much pressure to put on like the first time.
I was nervous as
somebody,
is, you know.
Yeah, also something that I hadn't taken into consideration enough at this point is that Frida is from Sweden and is a different culture.
Mm-hmm. And my family, I just moved here.
Yeah, and my family is super loud and they talk a mile a minute. Everyone shouts over each other and everyone's constantly like joking around and making insults at each other. And like, if you want to be heard, you basically have to shout over the fray, and just like no part of that is what Frida is going to do.
That's not the Swedish way.
No, not at all.
What is the Swedish way?
In general, the Swedish culture is like very quiet, a little shy, and like kind of cold and closed off, which sounds terrible, but like it's just, we don't talk to strangers, we don't ask a lot of questions because it's rude, and like
rude,
just like
to ask questions. I'm the rudest lady in Sweden. Like,
because it's like super intrusive. Yeah. And so I had been in the States for literally a couple of months, and it was a huge adjustment. Like I love American culture. I've always been obsessed with American culture since I was like 8 years old, but I'd never lived here for real. So I didn't really know, you know, I wasn't really in the culture as much. I wasn't like immersed in the culture anyway. But so coming, meeting like in an all American family, I was just trying to be polite and like quiet and listen, because I tend to listen a lot, and I was nervous. So I definitely changed a lot in 2 years.
Where are you from?
Indiana.
Yeah.
Southern,
I don't know.
Indiana.
Maybe
you should try to meet some people from like Connecticut.
I think about, you know, that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely have more of like the Greek family style. We're not Greek, but it's that kind of a family as opposed to like John Corbett's family, you know. And so I think of like, she's basically from a John Corbett family. And
yeah.
I was from a Nia Vardalos family.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think it was just hard to. It just took me a while to adjust. Like, I would say it took me like probably a year to really get into it, and then, but now it's just like second nature. But at the time, it was super hard.
Okay, this episode of Honey is brought to you by Mack Weldon. I'm here with Greg and Mike, and I got them some Mack Weldon underwear. Now tell me about it.
I mean, Julia, Mike, I would say the highest compliment I can pay a pair of underwear is to say that I didn't notice them when I was wearing. Anytime you notice anything going on with your underwear, it's bad.
I agree. Yeah. Underwear shouldn't bunch. It shouldn't like be uncomfortable. I hate it like when the leggings like get caught up in your jeans and
seen, not heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Smelt. Dealt, not smelt. Yeah,
not smelt. Pointedly not smelt.
Yeah. No, I really love my pair of Mack Weldons.
What kind did I get you? I forgot. Briefs, boxer briefs.
I'm a boxer brief guy.
I had boxer briefs as well. Silver, I think it was.
Oh, you got the silver.
Oh, that's the one that doesn't smell. That's a good fit for you.
Yeah. What's that supposed to mean?
I'm just saying, not all of us need silver sewn into our underwear. Cause like,
I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Go to MackWeldon.com, enter code HONEY, and get 20% off. That's MackWeldon.com. What's the code?
HONEY.
And what do you get off?
20%.
I don't have a smelly undercarriage.
So this Thanksgiving week, was it like, was it just like an unspoken tension?
Yeah, pretty much.
It basically turned into my mom would not really talk to us. Like, she was being polite, but like my mom and I would just sit down and we talk and we're so close. And it was just like this barrier there. And, and I kept trying to like, find, it was like, let's go to lunch together, you know, like just trying to find ways we'll talk to each other and hang out. And and she was like resistant to it. Or when we did go to lunch, she was just like, she was very quiet and didn't really say very much. And that is not my mom.
And then I didn't ask any questions. It was very quiet.
Yeah. And she just, but and then later my mom was like, well, if you knew things weren't going well, why didn't you like take me aside and talk to me just by myself? And I was like, I don't know. Because I was just so focused. I'm like, have to write this ship, you know, and fix it.
Well, and I've been in a somewhat similar situation. And I think it's because you want it to be simple much. And then you feel like if you have to like intervene or give instructions, then it's not this perfect magical, you fit right into my family and blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
And then then Frida was flying home and I was staying a couple more days and then flying home. And basically after we got home from taking Frida to the airport, my mom, my stepdad told me like how bad they thought the whole week had gone and how they thought I should not marry Frida. And I'm just like sobbing my eyes out like intensely. And so it was only at that point when I, you know, found out how they had been feeling all week and like just how badly it had all gone. And then it took another like sort of 2 months for us to figure out exactly why it went so poorly and to work through it.
Yeah, for Christmas we were
we have a cat and some cardboard.
Yeah, some cardboard boxes. It's our favorite thing.
So loud.
Yeah. You want me to just put her in the room?
What?
I asked if you want me to just put her in the room so she's not loud. Is that okay?
She's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see. Oh my God, she's looking at us. Yeah, we're talking about you.
She's so cute.
You look crazy. Okay, let's see how we do. Oh, no.
I think I'll just put her away.
Yeah. We're going to go in the room. I can't believe she's the one that ended up being the loudest and not the dogs.
Hi, Riley.
Hi.
We have doggies right here.
Yeah. This is like the quietest our house has ever been.
Everybody's on board for the podcast. Yeah. Okay, wait. So now, wait, are you guys married?
We're engaged.
Yeah, okay, we're engaged.
I was like, I never asked that.
Yeah.
Usually no. I know.
Yeah.
Okay. So you figured out. It took 2 months to figure out what went wrong?
Yeah. Because also, like, we went back to LA and, like, so we kind of, like, we talked it through, obviously. She talked with her mom. We tried to, like, you know, figure out where it went wrong, what went wrong, why. And, like, it was so many things.
So was it just, like, awkward silence?
Yeah, a lot of it was just very quiet and like kind of if we had a conversation, it felt very forced, like just being polite, just being very like polite and just like it wasn't real. It wasn't like genuine. I don't feel like it was just quiet or it was forced.
But I feel like many people also would be like, yes, that accurately describes how my partner interacts with my family, and we just that's how it is. But yeah. This was like a big
well I think part is because I am really close with my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And and I talked about them a lot to her, you know, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I go home a lot, and so being part of my family was important, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, Frida's family is in Sweden. They're really far, and she wanted to be close to mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to have a, you know, family here too.
Yeah.
So
and what's amazing is like things are very, very different now, and mm-hmm. we've really worked through things. And yeah. really what I think eventually helped is my mom and Frida got to go to lunch, just the two of them, and really talk things out. And also, to my mom's credit, she sort of took a lot of responsibility for like what happened and sort of put that on herself, which I appreciate. And I think for my mom, she just like one thing that she eventually said is that she was worried that like I was going to be a different person because we are so close, but she hadn't known that I was gay. And then when I came out, and then this was also the first time she was seeing me after I came out, and then things were awkward and forced and weird. And my mom tends to like sort of trip out and be like, everything's going to be bad forever. And so yeah. she went into like, our relationship is ruined forever and it's never going to be the same. You're a different person. Did I ever know you at all? You know, yeah. which like I can make fun of her for doing that because I do the exact same things. Like yeah. I definitely, you know, spin out into despair as well.
Same.
so I know that that's what she was doing. And yeah. And I don't think it was like, whatever, this is so, I don't know, airing dirty family laundry, but, I think my stepdad just doesn't understand me at all and has very weird, interpretations of what happens sometimes. And I think his interpretation of it, of the situation was very wrong, but he was telling my mom what he thought was going on. Mm-hmm. And his read on me is never accurate. Yeah. and so finally, when I got a chance just to be with my mom and she got a chance just to be with Frida, sort of away from the rest of the family and away from the pressure, she could see like, I am the same person. And yeah. I'm the same person that I have always been my whole life. And the gayness I have now was always with me. You know, we yeah. just didn't know exactly what it was.
yeah.
And that Frida is a wonderful person, and she's just not the kind of person who is going to scream a joke over everybody else. You have to get to know her.
yeah. No, I'm definitely not that person. And I'm not that person at all. But yeah.
I think also is my mom maybe expected somebody more like me, and I'm not sure why. I think she just, but she thought that Frida would be more like me, and Frida's not like me.
We're very opposite in many ways.
Yeah, and so I explained to my mom, like, I would hate to date somebody like me. It would be a disaster. It would be horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, also like I'm a lot, and Frida and I, we joke sometimes about like yeah. if we did date somebody like ourselves, like if I dated somebody horrible. Like me, we'd be screaming and throwing things at each other, and you know, and
if I was dating someone like me, we wouldn't say anything.
So like we fit together, we work together. Yeah. Like this is the kind of person I need, and
this is the person I need.
Yeah. And so now my mom sees that.
Yeah.
And maybe another parent would just fucking take your word for it, but mine had to like see it for herself.
Yep.
It kind of reminds me of something a therapist said on Dear Sugar, I think. So I'll track this down. Note to self, and actually note to Portia. This is Portia's my intern. It's about blended families. And this therapist's advice was like, you can't, you know, when parents remarry and, you know, or you have stepchildren or mm-hmm. step-siblings, you want to all hang out together.
Mm-hmm.
And that just is not how a family like that functions. Mm-hmm. It's like hanging out, having like bilateral relationships, all of you having a bunch of different bilateral relationships,
yeah,
is more functional because you're not one unit, you mm-hmm. know? So I think that's very, it's telling that like when you were able to go to lunch with mm-hmm. Erica's mom, that's like unlocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Things. I needed to like some one-on-one time with her so she could really get to know me, because especially at the time, I think, and for how I've just been for a long time until I really became more confident and liked myself better, it was hard to get to know me in a group because I tended to be quiet and not want to take up space. But if you're with me like one-on-one, then you'll really get to know me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can tell you the meanest thing my mom said.
Oh,
that really?
Yeah.
I remember that. Uh-huh. Because I know, this reminds me, I remember what my mom was worried about. And partly it wasn't that it wasn't really that she didn't like Frida. It was partly that she worried that I had found somebody agreeable who would just go along with whatever I wanted. And then I would just basically bully into being whoever I wanted her to be. And my mom has had this worry with both of my brother and me, because, like, as I said, my family is a lot. We all are. And so I think she has worried before that we would just find people who we wouldn't let them be themselves. We would just like, and so literally what she said to me is, she said like, I think that you just found somebody who will be your minion. And,
I don't think I've heard this before.
Yeah. I mean, this is in the heat of the moment.
Oh, you know, yeah.
We were
yeah.
all, I, like, totally. I was crying. There was a lot of yelling going on in this moment. So yeah. I'm not saying this is her.
No.
You know, she's not really.
I guess I've never heard that.
So I know that partly, you know, when Frida was quiet in a group and she was mostly, you know, just sort of agreeable and nice, my mom was thinking a little bit of like, well, I've raised a monster who's like found somebody who will just agree with her, you know, because she can't handle anyone to challenge her or something. Yeah. Oh, and now my mom sees that, you know, while Frida may be very nice and agreeable, especially in groups, like she is her own human being.
Yeah.
It does seem that way.
Yeah.
And I'm not Gru. Yeah.
So you said this wasn't a fight between you, but this was something that put strain upon your relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you guys have conversations about it in order to remove that strain from mm-hmm. your relationship?
First, there's a lot of crying.
Yeah. I mean, because it's like right when I left to go back to LA, I mean, I knew it hadn't gone well, but then we were like texting, and then I was just like crying at the airport, and I had to like stay overnight at an airport, or like, ooh.
That's how I talk to my dog too.
Yeah,
she can understand I'm like, what do you think you're doing? What are you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, no, we do that all the time.
Chat a lot. Otis,
Did you find your baby toy?
How old is he? Oh, 9 months. You told me that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Ruin it already?
Is he a lab? Some sort of lab?
He's a Visla mix.
Yeah.
He's a pretty boy.
Yeah, he's very pretty.
He has an Instagram.
Yep. Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is it?
Otis Heidewald.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's funnier to have the dog just have your last name than to be like Otis the dog. Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Well, my friend got a dog and she gave it a mix of its last name is like a blend of her name and her boyfriend's last name. And then she said to me, she was like, "What's Gemma's last name?" I was like, "Meltzer." And she was like, "Cool." She told me, she was like, 2 weeks later, she was like, "I didn't realize that your dog's last name is just your last name." She was like, "I asked someone at work what her dog's last name was," and she looked at me like I was crazy. She was like, "I thought you give a dog a first name that's and a last name."
Oh my God. That's amazing.
That's funny.
I mean, you know.
Some people, maybe.
You could.
But he's my child.
Yeah. You know, he's part of the family.
He's my biological child. So he has my name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very like I do feel many unhealthy things that it would be unhealthy if it were a human baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is A-okay for a dog. Yeah. Like the fact that I'm like, you are mine, Gemma Meltzer of House Meltzer. You are with me forever.
Yeah.
And also, I gender her so crazy in a way that I would never do to a human baby, but it's pink everything.
Yeah.
She's my beautiful princess. And I'm like, this won't psychologically damage you because you're a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, our dog is definitely like a little gender fluid because we're like, we love pink. So he loves pink.
Mm-hmm. And so he looks good in it.
He looks good in pink. And so we got him a pink collar and he has a lot of like pink stuff and people always think he's a girl.
At Petco, two different people said something about, you know, "Oh, how old is she?" or "What's her name?" or whatever. And I was like, "Oh, you know," and then just responded, "You know, he's 9 months," or whatever. And they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
I'm like, my dog
I thought he was a girl because I saw the pink collar. And I just wonder, like, why they feel the need to apologize. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. My dog doesn't care about being misgendered.
Like, no, he's not offended. I'm not, like, it literally does not matter what his gender is. Like,
no.
So, I like to imagine that those people would be as diligent in, like, correctly gendering.
Oh, I wish.
A person, but
I doubt it.
Probably not.
Yeah, I doubt it. I wish it was.
Okay, where were we? So you'd have these conversations. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You were crying when Frida went
airport.
Back to LA. Yeah.
Crying in the airport. But once, it was just a couple of days before she got back as well. And I think after that, we just talked a lot about how we were feeling at the time, and why we were feeling it, and how we had both experienced the situation. And like how it was different. But
I think for us, like, just complete honesty always helps.
Yeah.
Including complete honesty as far as, like, you know, I'm afraid and maybe we are crazy and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we've never really been afraid to do that, to be like, what if we're nuts and everyone's right and we're crazy? You know?
Yeah,
like,
and it's not meant to be. Yeah.
And I think you have to address that, you know?
Yeah.
And then once we really talked about all that, we could just feel solidly like, nah, we're good, you know?
Yeah, no, that's not it. Yeah.
Because whenever we are feeling like maybe off track with each other, we just have a deep conversation and we always end up finding that, like, yeah, our souls are in the same place. We are always like at our core, we're just meant to be together. And a deep conversation always brings us back to that.
Yeah.
That's so good to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you figure that out?
It's hard to like put into words because it's just, we feel it. And it's very strong, but it's like...
But how did you figure out that a deep conversation and that you could be 100% honest? Because I don't think every couple should be 100% honest with each other.
Yeah.
But for you guys, that's like the magic.
I think we're just like that as people. We can't hold our emotions back. We can't hide anything or repress anything because it'll just come back up. And so that's just at least how we are as people and like how we need to deal with things.
I think also... sort of early on in our relationship, I really wanted her to see everything about me and know everything about me, including all of the bad things, because I've definitely dated people who they liked the good things about me, but not the bad things. Mm-hmm. And That can't work. You know, you got to like the whole person. And I didn't want to convince her to like somebody who is not really me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to put it all out there as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then if that was still the person she was into, awesome. And if it wasn't, then good to know. So for me, I think because there are complicated and difficult things about me, and I'm not necessarily the easiest person all the time to get along with. And I didn't want to pretend that I was different, you know? So I was just like, I'm just going to be as radically honest as I can and just spew this all out. And then I remember, this is sort of funny, but after we've been dating for like 6 months, we did acid together. And I remember when we were on acid, you did sort of ask me like, how did I know that you were the one?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm such a turd. I feel like I'm going to cry.
Oh my God, I want you to. Cry, so please.
And I just remember saying that like, because when I look in your eyes, I know exactly how you feel. Mm-hmm. Like I always know you're telling me the truth. I always know when you say you love me that you mean it. You know, I never have to wonder, does she really, you know? Because I just look in your eyes and I just know you, you know? And so it's always been that way from
the beginning.
So when we really talk to each other and we really connect with each other, we just know each other and we understand each other, even though we're different.
Yeah. I have chills. I have chills, and also, you guys, can I used to not believe in soulmates, but I think you're soulmates. Like, you're the first soulmates that I encountered. Sorry, every other couple I've been with. But I didn't think soulmate. Oh my God! Lie down.
I didn't think it existed until I met her. Honestly,
but also I'm like, you don't. You can have a great relationship with someone who's not your soulmate.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And people shouldn't be walking around looking for their soulmates, but oh my God, you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I have had a great relationship before, you know? And that was also something important to me is because to me, I sort of feel like if I have loved someone, I will always love them. I always want them to be in my life. And whoever I'm with has to be cool with that. And that's who I am.
Yeah.
And so I've always brought that to the table too. And I have had one other relationship that was very deep and wonderful and important in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But not the same level, you know, not my soulmate.
Yeah.
And I do think you can have an amazing relationship with somebody who is not... I don't know. It's even soulmate does sound silly, but
it sounds cheesy, but it's true.
Yeah. So, you can have an amazing relationship with somebody where it's not necessarily as easy and natural as it is for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe it's more work, but I also think that a lot of people feel so much pain in their lives because they really try to make it work with somebody who they are just not that compatible with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you can absolutely love people you're not that compatible with. And it can be a real love.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it a really good relationship. And so I sometimes feel like, you know, maybe just keep looking.
And it doesn't sound like super romantic, but compatibility is like so important. Because you're going to live your like day-to-day life with this person. So if you're not compatible, it's going to be really hard.
Compatibility sounds romantic to me.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. But
you mean like some people are like someone who would like whisk me away.
Yeah, and like passion.
That
side. But like...
Yeah. And you have to have that too. You know? But... The day-to-day, do you get along really well with each other every day and you're nice to each other all the time? That's what's like the most important thing. And, you know, are your values in line? What you want out of life is the same? Like, that's what really matters. And, you know, I think also we're both kids of divorce. My parents have been divorced so many times. my dad's on his third marriage, my mom's on her second, and so I think we just came into it maybe sort of clear-eyed about love and romance, and we recognize that like you can really love somebody but not maybe be good for that person.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to make sure that we're really good to each other, you know, yeah. and that our relationship is really like healthy and that we're our relationship makes us into better, happier people. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big thing.
That's important
us.
To us.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. No, I'm like rocked to my core. By the fact that you're aww. Soulmates.
I know. It's crazy.
Oh my yeah.
God. It people rules. Are, yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I still don't believe in...
I don't believe in love at first sight mm-hmm. still. But maybe I'll sure. meet a couple
oh, yeah.
who convinces me.
I don't oh, think wait, I believe in
I
that
did
either.
Hear... I think Tommy and Shelley was a little bit love at first sight. I don't know. Okay, here's I what I'm going to say.
I feel like... What? Sorry, love at first sight, I think maybe could be a coincidence. You know, you really, really like someone at first sight, you end up being in love. You
yeah.
know? I don't but think like you can't really love somebody at
yeah,
first sight.
Yeah.
No.
But so I guess I'm like, I totally the coincidence, but like some people describe like they're like,
she walked into the room and I knew that was my wife.
Yeah.
I'm like, mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw her on Tinder and I thought, she is hot.
Yeah. Okay.
Swedish.
Here's
cool.
the other thing I want to say that I love mm-hmm. what you were saying, Erica, about like, you know, you show the good parts of yourself and the bad parts of yourself because mm-hmm. you need someone who is going to get on board for all of it. But I think that just speaks to how like secure in yourself you are. Like, you have to know what. You know, you have to know what those things that aren't going to change are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, myself included, just don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know when I would have to like, what shitty things about myself I would have to show someone. I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of times the shitty things about you are inextricably tied up with the good things about you.
Totally.
You know, yeah. they're the flip yeah. sides yeah. of the same coin.
Yeah.
So even the shitty things about me, I don't necessarily feel, you know, bad. But like, I know I'm a very emotional person, you know, I am. And that is a great thing. And it's also super painful sometimes and painful mm-hmm. to be around and to witness, you know.
Yeah.
And I know that like, I can get really angry. And I always, like, I would never, I've never yelled at Frida. I would never. Like, I don't think you yell at the people that you love. But, like, if somebody is, you know, being rude to the cashier at Ralph's in front of me, I might yell at them.
yeah.
And then the person I love might be embarrassed and think, we have to get out of this store, you know? Or, like, when we're at the gym, and there's one guy and he's trying to say he's on every machine, I might say, well, seems like somebody needs to be on every machine. Let's get out of here, Frida. Which really happened like a few weeks ago. So
yeah,
then,
like, and I'd be like, but, all right.
Let's, yeah. Let's but go. Like, but what's also good, I will really stand up for people.
Oh,
who
yeah.
need it. If someone is like, I have gotten in the middle multiple times of like, seeing a woman getting harassed by a man in front of mm-hmm. me, I go up, I get in the middle, I stop it, you know? So like, those are the same qualities, the good and bad side. And yeah. so like, yeah, I've accepted those.
Yeah, and also, you know, you're very protective of me as well. Like,
yeah.
if when we went out a lot in the beginning of our relationship, like gone out to clubs, dancing and stuff, even like a lot of gay bars especially. And even at these gay bars, like a lot of straight men would come up and try to like grab me or touch me and just be very inappropriate
at gay bars.
Oh, yeah. It's like yeah,
it's a problem that yeah. men go there specifically to hit on lesbians.
Yeah,
straight men.
And like, I don't think anyone
didn't know that. What?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just when you think that straight men have reached their low, they go lower.
They go lower.
Oh my god.
But yeah, and that's when like several times, like that's Erica really like stood up for me. I've gotten them like kicked out, blacklisted, like
yeah.
It and I don't think I've ever had anyone be that protective of me, and it's kind of nice to have.
I'm really glad you think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time that ever happened, we'd only been dating for like a couple weeks, and
yeah.
a guy hit on her a lot at a bar, and I really screamed at him, and like, and this was the first time she'd seen like crazy angry side of me.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh my god, Frida's gonna be afraid of me, like. She's gonna think I'm nuts. and she didn't think that.
No, oh, I was just worried about her, but I was flattered.
You were worried about her?
Well, you never know. Some of these guys get like aggressive that was my main concern, that they would get aggressive and like hit her.
I have
or something.
No concern for like my own bodily safety.
She does not, and I have to kind of like be like, hey, let's not get like punched in the face.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, like, I care. I care about your face.
Yeah. I give the finger a lot when I'm driving.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I'm like, you never know what someone's gonna.
It's true. Yeah. I actually stopped flipping someone off yesterday because they leaned out the window of their car and tried to menace me, and I was like, oh, this is the kind of person who would shoot someone in traffic.
Yeah. Yep. So let's
all
know.
Right, I'll put my finger away.
Okay, you guys, I'm still shook. I'm shook that
I believe in soulmates now. I'm shook that straight guys go to gay bars to hit on lesbians.
Yeah. It's a problem.
It's bad.
Okay. People can see you on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We have a YouTube channel.
We do have a YouTube channel called Erica and Frida.
Erica with a K.
Erica yes. with a K. Frida yeah. is F-R-I-D-A, like Frida Kahlo.
Yeah. We'll link it. Awesome. We'll link it all.
Yay.
Any last closing remarks? You don't have to have any. I usually say, what have we learned?
Mm-hmm.
What have we learned?
Frida, you can go first.
Soulmates are real. We learned that.
I would say if you are in a relationship where you really, really love the person, but you're feeling a lot of pain, and the relationship is always causing you pain, it's not worth it. And I know that it hurts to leave somebody you really love, but like life doesn't have to be like that. It can be better. You can be happier and you will love somebody else, somebody who you just get along with better, or maybe is nicer to you. Maybe you're nicer to them, you know? So, it's just, I think life is too short to stay in painful relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good. I agree. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's fun to talk about ourselves.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Honey. I'm Julia Meltzer. You can find the show on Instagram and Twitter at Honey with Julia, on Facebook at Honey with Julia Meltzer. The show is produced by Ryan Middledorf and Ryan Countshouse. Our intern is Portia Kritchman. Our theme song is by Aaron and Melissa. And our artwork is by Allie Monroe. Okay, bye.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?